It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So the Abdul Carter number 56 thing is over. You know, LT said, you know, go get your new number and make history with that. We know that the number 11 and Phil Simms, that was not going to happen as well. I mean, it's amazing that Micah Parsons and Abdul Carter sat there and were like, oh, man, you're going to go get that 11.
This is damn generation, man. It's like they all think, like, hey, I accomplished something great at Penn State. You haven't done jack for the Giants yet.
You almost went with a D word there. I saw your lips going there. It
just annoys the hell out of me. You haven't done jack for the Giants yet. LT is a great all-time Giant. Phil Simms is a great all-time Giant. And there's a reason why their numbers are retired.
Yeah.
You go get yourself another number, son, and then you make that number famous, just like LT said.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't agree with LT on a lot of things. I agree with LT on this thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think anybody who has made their own name in the NFL would say exactly that. And it's surprising to me that, like, if you want to spin it, well, oh, Abdul Carter's paying homage to the Giants and their greats. Like, I don't see it that way. I mean, maybe he's misunderstanding what this is all about, but isn't that what you want? Did you want to be your own guy? You want to have your number in a ring of honor, your number retired. I want every kid to be wearing your number, not LT's number, because he was great and you want to be great. So,
you know, he showed great affinity for LT prior to the draft,
which was great. Nice.
Which was perfect. Yeah. That's respect. That's what you want. And then all of a sudden gets hooked into one of these podcasts and decides that, you know, and been led down this path, you know, of which number you taken. I mean, it's, and then all of a sudden, you know, yeah, I'd love to have number 50. Yeah, yeah, you're not getting 56. You're not getting 11. So stop. You know, get some other number, make some other number what you want. And by the way, I will say that Ryan Fitzpatrick came out and scolded Zach Wilson for the number that he wants to wear in Miami.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah, and Ryan's very right. You know, Ryan's obviously a very smart guy, very deep thinking guy. Said, you know, you want to be taken seriously. Don't wear that number. You know, don't wear the number. You know, you're trying to get your career back on track. Don't wear zero. It's just not a good look. And he's right.
No, I agree. I mean, I thought they just gave it to him for the number of completions that he's going to have in Denver for the rest of his career. I didn't know if Zach actually chose it himself.
Well, in Miami, yes, I think he did.
I mean, in Miami, yeah. Zero completions in Denver and now zero in Miami. Yeah, so we'll definitely see if Abdul Carter gets a... I mean, I'm excited to see him play right off the bat because these edge rushers are guys that can make an impact week one.
Yes.
We've seen it before.
Not all edge rushers week one.
But they can.
Yes, some can.
It's one of those positions, though.
How did Kayvon Thibodeau
do? No, not so good. But it's one of those positions that guys that when they're great...
Simple. It's simple.
Yeah, go get the quarterback.
This is what you do. Just go get the quarterback. And like Will Campbell said, the tackle out of LSU, he goes, I could block a guy 40 times a game, and he doesn't do anything. But on that 41st time, he sacks and causes a fumble in the fourth quarter, and I'm the villain.
Yeah. Tiny arms, Will Campbell. Short arms. Alligator arms, they say about him.
Yeah, he seemed like a nice kid.
Very nice kid.
Seems like a Vrabel type of player.
Yeah. Why, he likes guys with short arms?
I guess so.
Yeah. But all the Patriots fans are a little bit worried about that. Might have to go to guard with those little baby arms that he's got, like right in here. Doesn't have a big wingspan.
I don't know. I watched a number of his highlights, and he handled a lot of the better pass rushers in college pretty easily.
Well, I hope so. He got drafted in the top five, for God's sakes.
Even with those short arms.
Even with those tiny arms. Mark in New Rochelle. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Monday.
What's up?
Yeah, baby. I got a question, or it's my opinion. I've been watching baseball my whole life. I'm 60 years old. Is it me or is Dave Sims trying to establish himself as a premier broadcaster? Is he trying to not duplicate John Sterling? But it seems to me on every play, he's over the top. Am I wrong or...
Are you listening? So, Mark, are you listening to the games or just listening to the highlights that we play?
Both.
All right, because that's...
I mean, he's good on the play-by-play, but these, like Aaron Judge hits a 900-foot home run. You would think it's game seven, bottom of the ninth, and he wins the World Series. It's just like he's no Bob Costas. He's Bob no Al Costas. Michaels. You know what I'm saying? Listen, well, he's certainly not John Sterling. But
didn't you think that John... Really? Now listen, just to defend Dave for a second, did you think John was a little bit over the top at times?
Maybe it's just something that we got used to as fans. I don't know. Maybe it's just giving Dave a break. I like Dave. Don't get me wrong. I like Dave. But it just seems like on everything, it's like Aaron Judge just tripped over the bag and you know, just stupid stuff.
Well, listen, Mark, I mean, I don't necessarily agree. I mean, I like the fact that he's getting excited. There's two things that we had brought up from a criticism standpoint, if you will. One was the hey now just feels weird in New York when Howard Stern did that for a million times, for a million years. And also, I would like to hear him. He sounds a little too down when the other team does something. Like Howie Rose does that perfectly. When the opponent does something, Howie calls it with an energy where you can tell it's the opponent and he's not excited about it, but he does it with an energy where you're like, okay, he's still calling the game, where Dave sounds morose when the other team does something.
Well, just remember, you know, Dave Sims is 72 years old. He's been around the block. He's not changing for anybody. He's got his certain style.
Yep.
And the hey now has been a part of his style for a long time out in Seattle.
Yeah.
So this is the first time we've heard it here. Howard Stern makes a big deal out of it. And, you know, Dave Sims is a professional. So it would be one thing if you're like a 25-year-old and he was trying to cut his teeth and he was trying to get in like some of those guys last year and they were trying to do a little bit of the John Sterling stuff. There's only one John Sterling. And eventually you'll get more and more used to Dave Sims and you won't have, you know, difficulties of trying to figure out what he's doing and how he's doing it because he's done it this way his entire life.
Yeah, this is just the way that people are going to react to a new voice in there after many, many years of the same guy. And not everybody's going to get used to it as quick. But I don't think that he's over the top with everything. I don't believe that.
And he doesn't hey now every home run.
No, occasionally.
I mean, John Sterling had a tagline for every home run.
Yeah. But it's like, do you think Dave's over the top? Like, but the guy that you had there for a while was over the top, and you liked over the top with him.
The Yankees win! Right, I mean, oh, come on. Jesus.
Let's go to Tom in Merrick. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to get back to the draft real quick.
Yeah.
So as far as the Jets, one of their biggest problems last year was stopping the run, right? We lost all our big boys on the defensive tack, on the defensive line. And in this draft, that was something that, you know, it was like they really need to address that. And the damn Buffalo Bills three different times jumped in front of us and took three big boys.
I know. It's really unbelievable that they did that. So it was, and two of them were with the Bears too, right? So, I mean, it was like the Bears were in cahoots with the Bills with this, jumping ahead of the Jets a couple of times. So, yeah, that was frustrating. I mean, and that's one of those things too that, you know, a first-time general manager in Darren Mooji, you know, maybe he learns from this experience and in a couple years down the road, this doesn't happen to him. But that's a guy who's been very experienced in Brandon Bean. He knows he's got the Jets ahead of him. He knows what they want, what they're looking for, and he made sure that he got the guys and they didn't.
Yeah, he took that guy, Deion Walker,
from
Kentucky.
Yeah, they got us again.
Yep,
they did get you again. Assuming these players work out, but they took that. The kid is 6'7", 335 pounds out of Kentucky, the defensive tackle. They went defensive tackle, edge rusher, defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm. Big boys.
Well, they know that they have a great quarterback that can generate points.
That's right.
Now they got to backfill some of this defense and try to get this defense back up to speed and get into the top 10 in terms of rankings.
Yeah. I mean, but that's something when we talk about, all right, first-time head coach, first-time general manager. I know Rick Spielman's there to sort of advise, but, you know, I don't know how much, you know, involved he was in the war room, in the draft room. But yeah, that's one of those things where, you know, looks like a team in a division played you a couple times.
Yeah, they went, by the way, they went three defensive linemen in a row, and then two out of the next three picks were defensive backs. And then they took an offensive tackle and a late round wide receiver out of Maryland, that kid, Caden Prather.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how you're going to have to, when you have a quarterback that's making as much money as Josh Allen does or Joe Burrow does, and you have to spread the cap around and can't necessarily keep everybody you want, you got to hit in the draft on defensive players.
Did you see the Instagram post going around, Terry Pegula up at the microphone talking, I guess, to the fans or something?
I did not see this one.
He stood up there, and he's the owner of the Bills, and
yeah,
he goes, I think I should first congratulate Josh Allen for making more money than I am.
Huh.
And everybody laughed, and then he was like, is it really that funny that I said that? It was kind of matter of fact, the way Terry Pegula is. He's very, very matter of fact kind of guy. But, yeah, it's interesting what Buffalo did here and where they felt like they really needed to have reinforcements. Because I always thought the internal part of their defensive line was pretty good.
Yeah, but you can't get enough of those guys. So, remember, you know what I'm saying?
That's exactly right.
Can't get enough of those guys. It's like the old 49ers pre-Rob Saleh leaving there and coming to the Jets. Where they were
every
just,
defensive lineman. Right. They just keep drafting defensive linemen.
And then they'd have a million of them that were actually contributing, and then those guys would always be fresh, and they're just substitution after substitution.
You know, the other thing, too, is that the Eagles, you know, they trade with Kansas City in the first round, and they get this Jihadi Campbell kid. And that kid is like a Spider-Man on a football field.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw some of the highlights. Yeah, I don't know too much about him, but he's flying around. I was looking at the Bengals draft. Did you take, not to put you on the spot here, but did they draft a lot of defensive guys? Because they had
I think it was predominantly defense.
Because that's something that they needed to do. It just jogged my memory with the Buffalo Bills because, you know, they're losing guys on defense, the new defensive coordinator, guys are asking out. They had one of the worst defenses in the NFL last year, so I thought that they would probably...
They actually started with an edge rusher, and I think they took two linebackers.
Okay.
They might have taken a defensive back in there as well. Took two offensive guards, too.
Love that. Love drafting guards.
Well, I mean, like, they are so totally loaded with explosive offensive skill players.
Yeah.
That you got to get some meat and potatoes in there, man.
Damn right.
Like, you were a meat and potato guy.
Without, still am to this day.
You are the ultimate meat and potato guy.
100%, yeah. Meat and potatoes on Saturday night, too. I had some meat. It was delicious. Man, now I'm going to have some meat and potatoes for lunch today.
Why? That I just...
And now it's in my head. I'd like some meat.
Meat?
Yeah, just some good old red meat. You know what I'm saying? Cut into like a filet or maybe like a prime rib or something.
Why don't you stop at a Teller's and have lunch? Have a power lunch.
Man, ate a lot over the weekend. I'm going to have to save that power lunch for maybe Friday.
Okay.
Maybe I'll chill out with the meats today. You know? Just take a step back. It was a lot of food consumption. I mean, listen, would you have a wonderful meal at a black tie dinner and then they hand you a box of Dunkin' on the way out and you have a couple of donuts? I mean, you know those donuts were going down.
There were no donuts thrown out, I can tell you that.
No, those Dunkin' donuts at that point of the night was like they fell out of, it was manna from heaven right there. And I stuffed those things had no chance. They had no chance. They were in one bite. I think both of them went down.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. He's got more sports for us. What's up, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We've got more of the same, but a different way of doing it. So we heard the Knicks radio call a couple of hours ago on the Carl Anthony Towns long go-ahead three. Here's how it sounded on ESPN and ABC nationally as the Knicks beat the Pistons.
Shot clock at 8. Towns. Long three from Towns. Oh, my! Carl Anthony Towns gives the Knicks the lead. Some huge down the stretch.
I would say so. Again, ESPN with the call. He went for 27 points. The go-ahead three with 46 seconds to go. 32 for Jalen Brunson. 94-93. The final is New York beat Detroit. Yes. Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
No, I wasn't. I was just campaign was on the ground on his knees with his hands over his head. I missed that on the original highlight. It was just a funny look at the bench.
Here was Towns on the physicality of this series, this game, and the compete level and what we are seeing on a nightly basis between these two clubs.
I think this is a great series for the NBA. I think it kind of gives a little bit of old school vibes. I think that this is great, you know, for kids watching who haven't been able to see old school basketball to see this kind of reminiscent game of old school physicality. And I'm just honored to be part of it.
There you go. Honored to be a part of it. Now, we've given J.B. Bickerstaff some grief for complaining about the no call at the end. But as you point out, you gave Tibbs some grief after the game two. Yeah, yep, game two comments. Two, yes. Well, in fairness to Bickerstaff, he also made it very clear that this is just a different game in the playoffs than the way they are officially. He does acknowledge it.
You know, there is more grabbing, holding, and all that. And again, we are fine with that, right? We like to play physical. We like that style of basketball. You know, you won't hear us whining about it. But, you know, again, there is just more contact that's allowed.
Yeah, well, I mean, they whined about it a little bit, for sure.
You won't hear us whine except for what we did 10 minutes ago.
Right. He is at least acknowledging that the game is being officiated differently. And then this was a question to Jalen Brunson. The way that the Knicks actually executed down the stretch was pretty good. And the question to Brunson was, I think it's verbatim, what is Tom Thibodeau's role in that?
I mean, he is the head coach. He does a lot for our team. And there's a lot of people who don't give him that credit. And but I'm happy to say that he puts us in position where we're prepared, we're ready, and he lets us play.
Brunson was 13 of 26, the 32 points and 11 assists, and 15 of those 32 points came in the fourth quarter. And then you mentioned Cameron Payne. He was asked, I guess he was shown on TV at one point yelling at Mikal Bridges, who struggled in the first half. He was asked, what was he saying to him?
Make some damn shots. I'm trying to figure out what I told you. I'm like, I can't tell y'all.
So you kind of figure an F-bomb or two might have been thrown. But the Knicks are up 3-1, and we hear. Game five at the Garden. They're going to be climbing up poles tomorrow night if they win this game, and they'll be singing and dancing in the streets if they advance to the second round, where we certainly believe it will be against the Celtics. You also had the T-Wolves beat the Lakers 116-113. Here was Anthony Edwards. He had 43. Said the Lakers gave the old college try, but we were ready to pounce.
I feel like we took their best punches throughout the game and to start the third and then to end the third. So, and I felt like they was gassed going down the stretch, so just trying to, you know, keep my foot on the pedal and keep going.
All right, so he felt
that
like
kid
they
is
were
pretty special, though, man.
Yeah, hell of a player.
He is special. You know, he's got so much energy. You know, when you see these young players come into the league and finally figure it out what they can do, and then have the energy, and that's the difference, I think, between these two teams.
Well, J.J. Redick was asked about not subbing out any of his players in the second half.
J.J., you made the change of the lineup to start the second half and went with those guys the whole way through. Was that the plan from the start?
No, it wasn't planned, but we just made the decision at halftime.
And so you go to Luka Doncic. So were you guys gassed and tired?
This is the playoffs. Fatigue shouldn't play any role in this, you know. Play a lot of minutes, but that shouldn't play a role. I think they just executed better on the offensive end during the last minutes.
And what is it, 90% of the time teams with 3-1 leads, right, in the NBA?
Yeah,
does that sound right?
So you've got that. I think this is just the, you know, Anthony Edwards just being head and shoulders physically dominating and just has so much more energy. It's what it looks like to me. I mean, just flying up and down the court.
Entering his prime.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they certainly look like it in the fourth quarter, that's for sure. Celtics beat the Magic 107-98. They're up 3-1, and the Pacers up 3-1 on the Bucks after a 129-103 win, a loss for Milwaukee that also saw Damian Lillard leave the court with what looks to be a significant Achilles injury. All right, more sound from the draft. We heard the Shedeur Sanders prank call last hour. Here was Sanders. I don't know if this was a conference call or on social media, but just a few seconds. Grateful for Cleveland, as he was picked in the fifth round.
Thank you for the Browns organization for giving me a chance. That's all I need.
That's all we need. We shall see. We heard from Andrew Berry on taking Sanders.
You know, we talk oftentimes about quarterback being the most important position in the sport. We obviously spent a lot of time with Shedeur throughout the process. He's highly accurate, can play well from the pocket. You know, very productive college career.
And here he says, at that point in the draft, we had to take him, even though they had picked the quarterback prior.
It wasn't necessarily the plan going into the weekend to select two quarterbacks, but you know, as we talk about, we do believe in best player available. We do believe in positional value, and you know, we didn't necessarily expect him to be available in the, you know, in the fifth round.
But there he was, and now you've got a bunch of quarterbacks.
And that video of after they selected him, the Browns war room, everybody's assuming that Andrew Berry really didn't want to draft him because he is clapping in a way that is non-exciting. Where Kevin Stefanski looks happy, other people in the back look happy, and Andrew Berry is like, oh, God,
yeah,
here we go.
I think this might be it here.
When we saw your guys' reaction in the war room, it just didn't look necessarily exuberant. So I don't know what we were seeing, but maybe you can explain that. And then also, like, how did this happen?
Yeah, I think we're probably just tired from the weekend. Well,
yeah. Those clips, it's not timed up to exactly the right
when
time.
We're actually
so I wouldn't,
a pick.
Don't read too much into that.
Well, I mean, it was timed up because they were clapping. They weren't just sitting there, and everybody else looked happy except for Andrew Berry.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the fifth round, and it's not like you're taking your first pick or you got the third pick and Abdul Carter fell to you.
I agree, but Kevin Stefanski was really clapping.
And by the way, I will say this. Because of Jacksonville trading up with Cleveland to go get Travis Hunter, you know, Travis Hunter basically has been a kid for 2 years now. Everybody said he was going to be like a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no smoke around him. He was a great player who could do two things and be a multi-dimensional player for a team. And a team traded up and gave up a haul to go get him. So, I mean, he's Shedeur Sanders' teammate, but you never heard any controversy surrounding that kid.
None whatsoever. Huh. Except his girlfriend busting his chops at a couple places.
Mm. Yes.
That was it.
That's about it.
How long were you going to be here when he was taking the Heisman pictures? And that's not really a controversy. It was just funny.
We've all kind of been there.
Then there's Jackson Dart. You assume the future quarterback of the Giants. He says he's ready to deal with the pressures of New York. He's kind of, he's dealt with it at other stops.
I would say the SEC is probably the most elite conference in college football. And I think that, you know, for me, I was able to play at a high level and I was able to experience, you know, high media platform in college, and I think that's going to be a good transition for me to come here, and yeah, you know, I feel like I'm just ready for this.
For it, we shall see.
In Oxford and New York.
So what?
It's exactly the same thing.
So what happens now with Tommy DeVito? That he's a practice squad quarterback. If you've got four of them now,
yeah, I don't know. Maybe Jameis Winston gets cut. Who knows? It's Cleveland.
Can't cut like, Jameis, man.
Cleveland's kind of like in the same situation. They have just too many quarterbacks on the roster. They're not all going to make it. Now, could Shedeur be on the practice squad or Dylan Gabriel? I feel bad for that kid. Oh, God. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like walking into that meeting room the first time.
What are the odds Shedeur starts week one for the Browns? Like, seriously, you think there's like,
I mean, you're
5% chance? There's nobody there who's like has
Kenny
to be
Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Shedeur Sanders, and this kid. Like, why not?
Yeah, I mean, that
my
would be
guess
something
is
else.
They're probably going to give the job to Joe Flacco to start and then see what happens. But
Shedeur, I mean, in the preseason, run around 7 touchdown passes.
So here's a serious question for you: is the 75% completion, is it fake?
No, it's real. It's real. I mean, there are things that he could do on the football field. He could play. And I've often said about Shedeur, now he may have this in abundance, but there is a level of confidence that he has because he's Deion's son.
Yeah.
Yes, Patrick Mahomes had a level of confidence because he was Patrick Mahomes' son. Like, he'd been around the college game, been around expectations his whole entire life. So that part of it, I think, is within the kid. What I do think is that, you know, it's the external stuff that he ends up doing that turns a lot of people off.
And Phil was saying when we had him in here that when he watched Shedeur, a lot of it is the short passes. It's either...
But isn't that the NFL game, though?
Yeah, but for him, in his evaluation, what he said was it was either short passes or home runs.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, third and 15 out, he never saw that ever for, like, a first down. It was either, like, a little dink over here or, like, down the field to you Travis Hunter.
What was amazing to me is when Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders were working out, like, listening to them talk to each other about, like, their individual abilities and their situations.
Yeah.
I was just really, like, it was so petty. Like, some of the things that were being said back and forth, I don't know if it was a joke or not.
No, I think they like each other and they were just busting chops.
If Phil and I, like, went out to work out together or something like that, I could see us doing
that.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I think it was, yeah. I don't think it was, they were for real.
They like one another.
I don't know. Cam Ward was going, you throw a lot of passes behind the line of scrimmage. They don't count. You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, which is busted balls.
Well, you run a lot. Yeah, well, like, because maybe I'm a great runner.
Yeah, well, Cam texted me, you got drafted in the fifth round.
Speaking of where they were taken, Dart not surprised to be the second quarterback taken overall.
Quite honestly, this is kind of just what I expected. I think as a competitor, you see yourself as the best any time that you're going to step on the field. I think that if you don't see it that way, then, you know, especially as a quarterback, you know, the team's not going to believe in you at the highest level.
All right, well, we'll see when he starts for the Giants and how quickly. And then we heard from Armand Memo again. We heard from him the other day. Yeah. And then when he got to the facility, also a two-sports star. Kind of, as this will play a part for him.
One thing I took away from wrestling is being able to drop levels and just change your leverage. So just I was really good at spearing people. So I think I kind of took that into the game when I run block and just getting down and getting low.
A wrestler.
See, this is what I love about offensive linemen. Give me a wrestling offensive lineman. That's a guy that's got a real respect and toughness that, you know, most people don't have because you don't realize what you have to put into wrestling, especially as the heavyweight.
I don't know what that was.
That was Tristan Wirfs and Mekhi Becton. That was the difference between the two of them. Tristan Wirfs was a guy who was a wrestler in college, was a terrific wrestler, and you know I want that part of that mindset as an offensive lineman. I think that's awesome.
Discipline.
That's why I think it's a great pick for the Jets. It should be a great pick for them.
No doubt. All right, the baseball from Sunday. We'll start with the late game for the Yankees. They swept the doubleheader from the Blue Jays. They won the first game 11-2. Second game 5-1. And a lot of offense in that, well, in both games. But in the second game, a lot of key hits.
The pitch count. Here comes the 1-2. Good speed out at second. And Jazz Chisholm. Breaking ball hit the other way into the gap in left center field. That's going to get down. Jazz will walk home. Dominguez flying, digging for second. And he'll get there with an RBI single, 3-1 Yankees here in the sixth.
And they would wind up winning 5-1 in that second game. Home runs from Grisham, Judge, and Ascara. J.C. Ascara, his first major league home run. Tim Hill, the win in relief after Clark Schmidt threw 5 innings of 1-run ball. In the first game, they just hammered Kevin Gausman, who left in the third inning. He had all sorts of issues. Here was Austin Wells, who had a big 3-run double in that first game.
Came out of the gate aggressive against him, and you know he was forced into having to make some pitches there, and I got a good pitch to hit at the end.
Sure did, and hit it a long, long way, and then adding insult to suckage as Gausman was leaving and was in the dugout, and as picked up on the YES Network as they were watching.
So he's arguing with the ump. And then he stumbles down the steps. He's okay.
You know, some days things don't work out for you, Michael.
No, they did not, as he took a nice little fall. So, tough day for Gausman. That's the third inning? Third inning. He gave 54 pitches.
Do you see that poor guy at Yankee Stadium when they were rolling out the tarp?
Yes, that almost got swallowed up by the tarp.
Yeah, he fell over the thing, and then they run him over. That was not good.
I think they stopped it, but it did get his leg.
Covered, though, man. Get him out of the way.
Oh, you think you just run the guy over
him?
Hey, you got to get leave him under covered, there, man.
Might have killed him. That thing's heavy. You know,
look, he's probably been a part of this grounds crew for a long time, and you know they probably have an edict. You know, no one person gets in the way. We do our job, whatever it takes.
So you want him to suffocate under the tarp?
If he gets it away, hey, it's his fault, not my fault.
Wow. How about smash his skull? Suffocate. That's his least of his problems.
It is true.
I mean, that thing's heavy.
Yeah, they did stop it before it got to his head.
They did.
He popped out of there. He was all right. But they slowed it down for him.
Yeah.
They didn't just run him over.
Bigger. I know, but they gave him a chance to get out of there. That's fine, but they were not going to stop.
Yankees Orioles tonight. First pitch on the fan at 6:35. Will Warren the start. The Mets blew a 7-1 lead in the seventh loss to the Nationals. We heard Keith Radd on Mets Odyssey Radio earlier. Here's how it sounded in Washington.
Last time up, with Tapper in front of the plate. Grounds one right side. Big hop, Alonso's deep foot race for static covering. High throw, gets away. Here comes Abrams to score. And they've done it again. A curly W's in the box. With static covering.
Yeah, and then falling, bad throw, over his head, 7-1 up to 8-7 down. Nats win, a pretty improbable win, too. They get to 13-15, not playing terrible baseball. The Mets now 19-9, all sorts of issues in this game. The inability to tack on runs up 7-1, and then even late when they were still up 7-6, they had second and third and nobody out in the ninth inning. Vientos, Marte, and Nimmo all grounded out, and they could not push a run across, so they do fall, but they got a chance to split the series this afternoon, 4:05 first pitch on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio. And you don't see this often in maybe around the youth fields you will see this a lot. You don't usually see this in a big league park. This is Giants-Rangers last night. The game, I believe it's tied in the bottom of the ninth.
The former Giant Luke Jackson, he's been the closer for the Rangers. He's coming in a tie game, bottom nine, 2-2, with Ramos leading off for the Giants.
Ramos has been on base twice, and he hits a soft bouncer past the mound off the third base side. Jackson, he barehands it and throws it away at first. It goes right on by Berger and down the right field line. And now Ramos around second, heading for third. The throw, it goes wild. It goes over to the sidewall. He jumps up. He heads home. And the game is over. Oof. It's a Little League home run.
Call it what you want. Giants win as they are still in first place in the NL West. And I see the Dodgers have all sorts of pitching issues, too, with some of these guys.
They had to change the toilets for Sasaki. I mean, what the hell?
I saw that note. We got to make him
more
comfortable.
Is this guy really, like, he needs some help? I mean, he was crying after his first start.
I know.
Now they got to change the toilets to make him feel better?
I didn't see this story. What kind of toilet are they getting him?
Japanese toilets. The type of toilets in Japan that he prefers.
What is a Japanese toilet?
The ones that they have in Japan.
Is that a bidet?
Yeah, it's got a bidet, a seat warmer.
All right, so that's like the Toto.
Yeah,
that's
really nice.
Like the one I have.
Okay.
I have one.
You ought to demand that for here. I'd love some of those toilets here at FAN.
We're not doing that here. Could you imagine how many people would want to use that thing?
That's just for us.
We have people from the 11th floor already coming down to use our bathroom.
Yeah. I've gone up there occasionally.
Your office is finally starting to get a little bit cleaned out in there. Allie's all set up. She's comfortable. Maybe we could have them put a toilet in there.
That'd be nice.
Right in the middle of the room?
Yeah.
Kind of curious, though. She hasn't thrown out any of her boxes when she empties them. She just throws them. So I'm curious to see how long that lasts for.
What do you mean she just throws?
Well, it's just discarded boxes.
Like every other woman. I mean, this is what they do. If you live with a woman in a house, they take stuff out of cardboard boxes and then they leave it for a man. And wherever it is, the man will take care of this. They think it's like the tooth fairy. That's what they think, the cardboard box fairy. They never, I hate the stereotype, but this is what happens.
Well, Allie's in the wrong office with the wrong two guys.
So how many boxes does she have back there now?
Currently three empties.
Oh, okay. We're counting. We're keeping track. I like it.
There are three empty cardboard boxes with other mini boxes within those cardboard boxes also empty.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she has no idea where to put them.
Yeah. Garbage?
Where's the garbage around
here? Stop. Just walk five steps, you'll find a garbage pail.
Well, I know it's a garbage pail, but those boxes aren't going to fit in the garbage pail.
You got breakdown boxes here.
You know, you see guys that are like the nature guys. They'll go out, they'll see like a footprint or something. They, we got a bison around here. You just see like an empty cardboard box with small cardboard boxes in there just sitting for days. It's like, 30-year-old woman. somewhere around here.
All right, we'll have to get that straightened out tomorrow, Al.
I guarantee Benji's listening to this going, stuff that comes in from Amazon, she's leaving these boxes everywhere just expecting me to do something with it.
I'm glad they said it.
Yeah, right, exactly. I can't say anything to her. Maybe this will change some stuff around this house.
I got a box.
For God's sakes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And the Devils lost to the Hurricanes 5-2 down 3-1.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Wild weekend in sports. Knicks really stepped up in Detroit. Hopefully they finish off the series Tuesday at the Garden. Get some calls in now at 888-808-1019. Of course, talked a lot NFL draft as well. And Mike is in Columbus, Ohio, wants to talk some NFL. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Mike. What's up?
I've only called your show twice. This is the third time in all the years I've been watching you. So,
okay, so it's got to be important today.
Yeah, so I want Boomer's assessment on Will Howard going to the Steelers.
You know, I think it's a great pick for the Steelers. And by the way, I actually talked to Will Howard, oddly enough, Saturday night at our black tie dinner. Somebody that was there had a connection to Will, and we FaceTimed with him. And I gave him a huge congratulations that he's going to a stable franchise, unlike the Browns, who are who've been dysfunctional and a disaster. The Steelers did it right. You know, they went out and they got a championship caliber quarterback. They're probably going to sign Aaron Rodgers, I still think. And they have Mason Rudolph there. And this is a perfect spot for a young kid to go and grow. And hopefully the Steelers will develop him into the championship quarterback that he was at Ohio State.
Well, thank you for your assessment.
Yeah, you're welcome.
There you go, Mike. Look at Mike.
Yeah, I think like that's a smart draft. I thought the Tyler Shuck draft was smart by the Saints.
Yeah, did Will Howard knew who you were?
Yes, he did.
Oh, good. See, that's important to me.
It is important. No, he had his Pittsburgh Steelers baseball hat on, you know, like our Fanatics hats that I got you guys.
Do you ever find the Vikings one, by the way?
I think I left it in an Uber.
Did you?
Yeah. So I said to him, I said, congratulations, Will. I know it's a big day for you, something along those lines. I said, but I have to tell you, I do hate the Steelers. And he laughed, and I just said, no, I think it's at a good spot. I like that spot for him. You know, I like the spot. I like the Jalen Milroe spot in Seattle, too.
Yeah. Ah, I wanted him to be on a team that was more impactful to my life.
But the thing about it is Jalen Milroe, all right, look, the contract that they gave Sam Darnold is not that long of a contract.
Yeah,
like, they get out of it after 1 year. If Jalen Milroe goes in there and lights it up, he's going to have a real chance. Will Howard is going to have a chance to actually start.
Yeah, if Aaron Rodgers
this year in week one, but I'm just saying eventually.
If Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign there, he may actually have a shot.
Well,
all he's got to do is beat Mason Rudolph off.
Exactly. So the kid's got championship DNA.
Beat him out.
Beat him out.
Oh,
yes.
California cryobank.
It's unbelievable. But
that's all he has to do.
Anyway, you were saying.
But again, I think it's a stable situation. It's a good situation. And that's what I like for him. That's what I like for Jalen Milroe. And that, like the Tyler Shuck thing, I worry about that kid because he's going into a place where they're not that stable in New Orleans.
Did you see the Mike clip that Funhouse put out from his podcast where he goes, there's one name that is now on the tip of everybody's tongue. And that name is Tyler Shuck.
Oh, he didn't do that.
I swear he did. If you go to Funhouse, Al, you could find it.
Oh, come on. No,
I'm serious. I'm not. Why would I make it up?
Oh.
And he's like, he's so, you know, sometimes where he's like not as into it and like, okay, draft tonight. Yeah, he was into this one. He was interviewing somebody. He was totally into it. All right, here we go.
Everybody now has one name on the tip of their tongue. Tyler Shuck.
Come on. Everybody's got Shuck on their tongue. Right on the tip is Shuck.
Shuck.
Tyler Shuck.
Oh, that's unbelievable. the other guy I was happy for, too, where he went was Kyle McCord because he went to the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, hey, good place to be.
I think it's like a really good place to be. And you never know which one of these kids could turn into Tom Brady or Brock Purdy or... You know, Dak Prescott, a late round draft choice that all of a sudden, you know, breaks onto the scene and somebody gets hurt. And then the guy's got to go in there and he's got a good team to play with. So he'll have a better chance to be a success.
You know what they call those picks? Shots on goal.
Shots on goal, baby.